Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I feel like people have to become more self-aware of their actions. And I feel like when people of color tell you, you did something wrong, you have to listen and then go to them and say, I am sorry. Mm-hmm. And I will try to do better next time. That doesn't mean you will get it right, but you have to be willing to put in the work and become self-aware.
Instead of fussing and fighting.
Check, 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 check. Check, check, check.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh. Hi.
Are we in? Yeah.
Hello. Oh, hi. Hi. We're here. We're already in the room. We're in the room. Hi. I'm Nalika Radway, and this is Raising Rebels, a podcast about oppressed parents raising free children. Today, I'm joined by my dear, dear friend, Carvel Wallace. Say hi to the people.
Hi to the people.
And so, all right, let's start with Carvel. Tell the people a little bit about yourself. And like, not, listen, everybody already knows who you are. We get it. You out in these streets. So just like a little quick, a little something, so we can just keep it pushing.
That's funny. I don't know if everybody, if people know who I am, they know more than I do, because I don't really know who I am. I'm a writer. People do read my stuff on some level. I write for the New York Times Magazine. That's probably the biggest platform I have. But I'm also just this like weird dude living in Oakland trying to parent kids and overcome his own trauma. And that's basically who I am.
Thank you. Because I knew that's what you were gonna do. I knew that's what you were about to do. But that's what we're doing. That's why I want to talk to you. That's why we're in these times. That's why we're about to have this conversation. Tell us about your people, your children.
So, what a fascinating time. I have two kids. They're 14, about to be 15. My daughter, and my son is 17, and you know, they are going through a change. They're going through changes, as the old folks used to say, for real right now. And they're putting us through changes, or we're putting them through changes. The world is putting everybody through changes. My daughter is fired up about organizing, protests, motivation, started a foundation, just called me this morning to be like, here's our first action. Here's what we're going to do. I'm like, okay, here's some resources. Here's who you might connect with. Like, really just fired up about that. And taking extra classes over the summer so she can get to calculus by the time she's in senior year. And you know what I mean? And learning how to skateboard. And you know what I mean? She's just like fired. Mm-hmm. And then my son, who's 17, we asked him to put together a plan to help with his credit recovery because he's behind in like three subjects right now. And we were like, listen, it's about to get real. You either put together a plan to get through these classes this summer, like we want to see dates and what units are going to do when you're taking the test, or else the hammer's about to come down. He was like, okay, I'll do it. And then he comes with a plan that was five slides of literally a meditation on the meaning of punishment and freedom. And it was good.
I stand.
You have made, and also let's return, you know what I'm saying, and also can we do the algebra homework? So that's what my two kids are like. He was quoting Martin Luther. He was quoting Gandhi. You know what I'm saying? He had John Lennon quotes in there.
You know what it like, is, I'm like, though? Bro. You know what it is? It's like, there are kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, who you mad at?
Exactly.
Like, they're
exactly.
Your kids.
Exactly.
That's what happened. So we are right now in quarantine and lots and lots of different things. And so what is the thing that you are enjoying doing with your children right now?
Well, I am enjoying exploring California more, maybe in a slightly wider way than we did before, because it's the only option left is to drive north and drive south and then drive to the ocean and then drive inland. You know, that's all you have because everything, all other activities are not existing. So I am enjoying that. Mm. I'm enjoying, there's a lot of just like regular, like we have these hobby slash activity relationships between each of us. My daughter wants to, like, engages me in her math homework all the time because I used to be a math teacher. And but the thing is, she's just reached trigonometry, basically, even though she's technically in geometry. What they're teaching is stuff that we used to learn in trig. And I just this morning she called me up and I was like, I don't really know. And then I'm trying to Google and watch YouTube videos to figure out what we're on. But I like that bonding with her, that's one of our activities, is that she calls me up or reaches out to me or wants me to come over when, even if it's like not in the schedule, when she has, because they're not that far away, when she has a specific set of questions about homework, and then I'll come and sit with her and that's our time. And for my son, he does the same thing, but for him, it's about culture, art, film, music, politics. He calls me up or invites me over, or we meet up or we go for walks or have meals, and he wants to talk about, Dad, I was watching this show and I was thinking about this thing, or I was thinking about this politics thing, or I was listening to this album. And you know what I realized about like this generation's understanding of music and how we use word, you know, that's, and so I, he gets to work out all these ideas. I really like that we have, I think those have increased in quarantine because again, we've become more focused and the options for distraction are in a lot of ways have been shaved away.
So what feels like yesterday and like 10,000 years ago at the same time, when we spoke last on the podcast, we talked about the unknown. And at the time when I like was thinking about the topic and wanting to talk about it, a lot of what was going on in my head was this idea of like, here we are, we have, you know, things that I never thought would happen, are happening. Donald Trump is the president of the United States of America. You know, all of these other things are happening. I'm trying to figure this out. And I'm like, I really don't know. Like, I know I don't know. And we had this conversation about the unknown. And you said something in that episode that has stuck with me. Like, when you said it, I had, it was like a gut check, and like it just has it has stayed with me. And you said something along the lines that children who are living during this time will have to, it will shape who they are. Like they like, and you likened it to people who were born, baby boomers that were born during the Great Depression, and how it shapes how they see everything. And when you said it, I was like, I understood the baby boomer part of it. I was like, yeah, I get, I know this. And I was like, I'm not ready for this to be the thing. Yeah. And then, and now here we are, right? Not so long like after, with this whole revolution, pandemic. And to me, it's like, it feels like the known unknown, in that the unknown is like, I'm trying to figure out, I have no idea. And now I'm like, I am sitting in, and I'm very comfortable in recognizing that we are on the other side of some shit. Yeah. And I know that. Yeah. I know that to my whole self. I know that. I probably kind of knew it then when we had the original conversation.
Right.
But I really know it now. Right. And I want to think about, like, how are we moving through this known unknown? Mm. And when, you know, we start the podcast with a recollection. And the thing that came to mind for me is thinking about when you are in the light. And this idea, like, when you're in the light and you know, like, you see things and other people around you just can't, don't always see it the same way you see it, or don't always, like, you can't even express what you know to be true. Mm. You know, like, because you're just living in the, like, you're just living in the light. You're just in the light. And so I asked you to think about a recollection, a memory as far back in your memory as you can, as a, of a time where you felt like you were in the know or in the light.
Well, that's interesting, because the part about as far back as you can, that's that. I somehow didn't hear that the first time. So I was thinking of something recent in my mind.
Go for it.
But yeah, I'll probably end up sharing all this. But the first thing that came to mind actually was the person that I'm in a relationship with now. The first weekend that we were together, it was like this thing where it's like we had sort of met, and then it was like we were kind of like DMing a little, and then it was like kind of, you know, whatever. And then it was like, oh, I'm going to be in town. Let's grab coffee. So then it was like, okay, let's have grab coffee. So then we start this coffee on a Thursday after I get finished with like a work thing. And then we basically cannot part ways for 5 days. We just cannot, you know. And that was like a, yeah, that was like about a year ago. And there was something about that weekend that existed then, and then something else about that weekend that exists in retrospect. And the thing that existed then was a kind of light, like a kind of sudden clarity, like, oh, this is it. Like, this is the person. Like, I don't. It's not even, you know, and other people, it's just like, that's a feeling that I haven't had a lot in my life, you know, and all this stuff that seemed like unknowable before suddenly became knowable in that weekend, which is so weird. It's a phenomenal thing to experience. That, you know, for all you're like, I don't know you, who knows, it's God will decide. And then suddenly all that stuff that you had under that umbrella of who knows, life is unpredictable, suddenly in that moment it's like, oh, actually you do know. You just know when you know, because you just see what you see, and there it is. And so I would say that that's the first moment of light that I thought about when you asked that question. And what is equally interesting is that in retrospect, what I realize now is that there was a knowing in that moment, but that knowing is not a guarantee of literally anything except for the knowing. And in retrospect, all I see is that we actually don't know. We literally don't know. We don't know if we'll be together for a long time. We certainly would like to think so, but like what I'm confronting now is like, oh, we actually don't know. If this will work, or if we'll be able to deal with this, or, you know, we literally don't know. And there's no way of knowing, and there never was a way of knowing. And so that moment has both this solid, true knowing, which feels so powerful and great, and I might even say intoxicating. And also the truth of that moment in all moments is that it is infinite unknowing.
You gotta be no wait, because we just got on the phone. I'm like tearing up already. I'm not ready for this. We might cry together today. It's okay. I'm here. I'm gonna let myself have it. When you first, like, when I was thinking about it, a lot of different things were coming to my mind. But when you told your story, like that love, I became so overcome with this realization of my own knowing. And I mean, I can't really, and the thing about when you, that, like, when you know, it is, for me, there are no words for it. Like, I couldn't explain it to somebody else. Like, I couldn't, it's hard to tell the recollection of it, because it's not anything that really makes sense. But I do remember So with, and I'm, I mean, it's a long time ago now. I think when I was about 21, holy shit. And so my, and I'm like, whoa, it's a long time ago, but doesn't feel, literally feels like yesterday. When you tell your story, it felt like yesterday. But I was really, really good friend of mine, been friends forever. Mm-hmm. We started becoming, like, our friendship shifted to something more romantic and, like, intimate in all kinds of ways, but we weren't a couple. And I'd gotten to a space of, like, oh, this is I know this is moving. Mm-hmm. I know this is supposed to be a thing, or I know how I feel about this person. Mm-hmm. And with the confidence that I have now, but kind of has been evaporated, like went somewhere between that moment when I was 21 and probably till I turned like 35 or something, 38, I knew confidently that we needed to either, like, how do you say, shit or get off the pot? We're going to do this or we're not going to do this. And I said that to this person. Right. Like, I said that. I was like, I know this. Yep. They were like, they're not ready. Mm-hmm. I was like, cool. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep it pushing. Mm-hmm. And that feeling of knowing something, knowing your heart, knowing, like, what is meant for you, knowing... I can't even really explain what else was going around in that moment, like what else was happening that made me, that gave me that clarity. Mm. But I just remember that this calm, this, like, even like regardless of how the person responds, regardless of how anyone else is feeling, regardless of like what, you know, what is to come, because I don't know. Mm. This knowing brought over like this calm over my entire self that gave me the confidence to speak my truth. And when you told your story, I was like, whoa. You know, it just came to me. I was like, I know what you're talking about, Carvel, because I've had that. And as we start to think about, you know, where we are right now, we have this, we have this pandemic going on. We have, like, these truths that are being told and giving space and air in ways I have never experienced in my entire life, and I never even imagined was possible. Yeah. Like, the things that are amazing me, the things that young people particularly are, like, willing to sacrifice in order for there to be change for their freedom is blowing me away. And everything is like unknown, but I feel this sense of knowing that is bringing me such calm. Like, it's bringing me such, like, when I check in on it, when I am in touch with it, is bringing me such calm that I, like, it makes it feel as though it's kind of wonky. Like, it feels a little crazy. Like, what, this is crazy. Why aren't you more, like, panicked or, like, what? And I'm like, because I know this is where we are. And I know that we're going to keep moving in a direction. And so I guess my first question to you, as we get into this conversation about the known unknown, How did you know that? I mean, you said it to me. You were like, young people are never, like, this is a different kind of thing. Yeah. How did you know?
I mean, I think in that sense, it just was like, it really was probably the reason I brought up boomers is because I learned that from boomers. I'm like, yo, okay, boomers are old as shit and crusty now and no one likes them. But at some point they were... 15 and 12. There was some point they were just little teenagers. And so I'm like, no, I get it. Like, if you grow up and, like, the nuke, like, the atomic bomb just happened. You know what I'm saying? The Holocaust just happened. The World War just happened. And, and, like, here you are this is like from my parents' perspective. And then here you are, and everyone is just, you know, like, I mean, that's gonna be the defining way. Every way you look at the world after from that point forward is gonna be somehow in relationship to these ideas that, like, whatever it is, whether you're like, fuck the whole system, or whether you're like, just whatever you do, you're doing it because these huge shifts happen. And then, yeah, these huge human scale shifts happen. So I was like, probably, I mean, even my, I'm Gen X, even my like lame ass generation, which whatever was the biggest thing we had happen was nothing, you know, like even we move through the world in a way that's,
we are not lame. I'm gonna just pause. I just want to pause for, you know, a second. What? I want to pump the brakes, you know, before you go on this path.
I'm just saying,
we are not lame. We're gonna talk about that right now. But go ahead. Keep it moving. Proud of keep my moving. Gen X
status, but I also,
all right,
but I also recognize that just compared to what my kids are experiencing, you know, it was, we had, yes, you know, we really, yes, just were dealing with very small level conflicts and navigating through them. And it was, you know, stuff was personal, but like, uh-huh, you know, whatever. Anyway, so, but I just know that for them, because I'm seeing, like you said it yourself, you're seeing things, mm-hmm, that you've never seen before. My dad, I was on the phone, absolutely, with him on Father's Day. He told me he was seeing things in this moment that he's never seen before. That man is 70, mm-hmm, what, 75, 75 years old, or about to be this year.
74. I heard Angela Davis recently say she's seen things she's never seen.
That's what I'm saying.
Before.
So people are, so, yeah, so just, sure, that sheer fact that like the size of these shifts, and this was, I made that comment before pandemic and before this, just knowing that the current presidency and everything that it implies, both directly implies and that it brings into fruition through counter forces that arise to counter it, that's going to mm-hmm, change everybody's, that's going to mean stuff that people haven't seen before. And my kids, mm-hmm, are going to forever be like, yes, one thing I'm aware of is that, like, my kids forever are just going to be like, remember that time there was like a like fascist white supremacist in charge of like a country of 260 million people or 360 million people. Remember that? Remember how everyone freaked the fuck out, you know? And then remember how like then a global pandemic shut everything down, but then people didn't want to wear masks and then mm-hmm, people were just dying, mm-hmm, and then it was black people were disproportionately infected, and then it all of it got, mm-hmm, revealed, and the whole economy was based on fucking prison profit and slave labor. Remember that? Mm-hmm. That's going to affect, mm-hmm, your whole worldview. That's not just going to be like a reminiscence. That is paradigm, mm-hmm, forming stuff. You know?
Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense to me too. And I think that I also, you know, like it's not about like knowing the future, like predicting. Mm. It was more, mm-hmm, about having like allowing your senses, mm, to do what they're meant to do, like trusting what you see, trusting what you hear, trusting what you know, what you smell with your own eye, mm, you know, like with your own body, mm, parts, more than what you're being told. Mm. I remember, mm, you know, recently I was with my not recently, but oh gosh, it feels recently, but before the, you know,
well, pandemic, time is an illusion anyway, so it's all good.
Thank you. I've been thinking about that actually. So I was with my mother. We moved to Amsterdam, mm, and before we moved to Amsterdam, I was staying at my mother's house for a long period of time. And when we were staying there, it was such an amazing experience because you have this like intergeneration. We're having these intergenerational conversations around politics, mm-hmm, 'cause you know, back when the Democratic primaries was the thing, who was, you know, like back when that was the big, mm-hmm, thing. So there's all this election talk and who we're going to vote, mm-hmm, for. And we're sitting in the living room, and my mother and my aunt, who are women in their like late 60s, 70s, are talking about how they're going to vote for Joe Biden. And I remember, I was like, okay, you're going to vote. I was like, why? Mm-hmm. This is like when, mm-hmm, we, you know, everybody's, mm-hmm, still in, mm-hmm, it. This is like, mm-hmm, Elizabeth. Everybody was, mm-hmm, still in it at that. And I was like, you're going to vote for Joe Biden? Like, why? Well, because this person, so-and-so, something, something. Mm-hmm. Or I heard this, this, this. Or because, like, all these things they would, mm-hmm, say. And I'm like, that's not true. Mm-hmm. I know you. You, why not Elizabeth Warren? That seems like somebody more in line with your thinking. And we started having these conversations that I realized they weren't having with anybody else. They were only conversation they were having with was like the TV and the nightly news and the media. And they were trusting that more than they were trusting their own, in like what they knew to be true. So they would tell the story about, well, you know, people, if you did this, people are going to, you know, I don't know, people are going to, we had this conversation, I'm gonna tell you this. So we had this conversation about weed. We had this conversation about marijuana. So
I both appreciate myself you trying to like and my partner, have some tact around talking talk, about.
I was like, what's the really story? Let me tell you a story. On, you know let me tell you a story.
Yeah, I hear you.
No, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story. Right. Let me tell you a story. So, we, you know, we believe like marijuana, like now, like you just smoke weed. Like it's a thing we do. It's not a problem. Like this would happen. You live in California. I live in Amsterdam. Even before, that's just what it is. So my mother, who's Jamaican, we're like talking about smoking weed. And she's like, I'm really concerned with how much you guys, my partner in particular, is smoking. Because, you know, if you smoke, like bad things are going to happen. And I was like, what bad things? You know, I knew, you know, I don't know, but like, I think when you do this, this happens. And I was like, do you know anybody who smoked weed and it made them like a mean person, violent, anything like that? No. So what are you basing this off of? Well, I've heard. And there's a lot of like, I heard, they say. And what has happened through oppression, I think, so much is like, we have given up like what we know based on our own experiences and trusted or been gaslit into trusting and believing what is being told to us by society. Like people don't even know that propaganda is a thing in the United States of America. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but that is what we're being fed all the time. And so I think a lot of my knowing comes from just trusting what I see. And I don't know when that happened. I don't know when that happened. It was like, this is bullshit. You know what I mean? I don't know.
This conversation is so important. I mean, not to like, I know we're in the middle of it, but I just want to take a step back and be like, this is a dope ass conversation, at least for me. Because I don't want to count our chickens before they hatch. But
I love you.
But
I love
just feel
you.
Like they're.
Can you believe I didn't know you a year ago
weird.
Today? I did not
it
even know
weird,
you. Know you.
I feel like honestly,
it's crazy. I don't even know that world. I don't even know that person. I don't know her.
But
go ahead. Sorry.
No, I just feel like the first thing that really struck me actually that has been kind of lingering in the back of my mind since the beginning of this conversation that is becoming crystal clear as you talk is that. There is a difference. We treat knowing, the feeling of knowing, as the same thing as prediction. So we're like, just to going back to this relationship example, is like, you're like, I knew he was the one. And then so what that implies is, and so we were together forever. So then if you guys date for 3.5 years and then you break up, then you were like, I guess I was wrong. That conflates knowing with prediction.
Absolutely.
But what you're talking about, and like I was already thinking that, and then you articulated it so perfectly that there's a form of, sure, there's some knowing that's prediction. I know that it would, I mean, there's certain stuff you just know. I just know my, you know. But there's another kind of knowing that is not about prediction, but that is about presence.
You just said the word I was going to say. You gotta stop doing this right now in my brain.
Never.
That's
I would never
the
stop
thing
doing
that. That I think has helped me. What has helped me tremendously, and a lot of this has come, I want to say, like through therapy and like recognize and meditation, is like the goal is just to be present. The future is going to take care of itself. Yes. The past has happened. Yep. It needs to be healed. Yep. And the work is to be present. Yes. And if you can figure out how to do that.
Oh, my God.
Everything else is going to figure itself out.
Yes.
But with media and TV like everything that's, you're either in the past or you're in the future. You're never in the space. So how can you see it? How can you know it?
Yeah. Because being present is a
knowing that it's not prediction.
Because being present, I mean, I really want to hold on to that because we do conflate those two things and that there is a kind of knowing that's like, I know, you know, whatever. I know you're not going to do the dishes, even though I just told you. And lo and behold, I had to remind, you know. But there's also, that's knowing this just from experience. That's one thing. But there's another kind of knowing that is just about being present and moving through the world with calmness and certainty, particularly because we're talking about parenting, that you need in order to parent effectively. Like, my worst parenting comes from lack of presence, fear, anxiety about the future, regret about the past, mm-hmm. right? That's where I make all my bad parenting decisions about. Absolutely. My best parenting comes when I can, in some small way, find the ability to be present in this moment and just be with the child, the feelings, the situation, with myself. And mm-hmm. that, I think when I go back to that weekend that I was with this person, there was a knowing there that allowed us to be present for that weekend. Yes. And that, and presence, not to be goofy, I mean, I don't want a Hallmark card, but presence is a gift, Nolika. And but
it's real, but
it's real, because it's real. When you it's are real. Capable of being present, then the present moment literally presents things that are magical and beautiful that you could never have created through your control.
Do you want, you ready to go to the next dimension? So let's go to the next dimension.
Because we're in dimension seven right now. I don't even know what.
Well, let's hit another one. Let's just hit another one. And so I've been thinking a lot about things being iterative. Mm. I pronounced it right.
You did. You killed it
right now. And this idea that you can know where you are right now, but from that knowing where you are right now, you allow so many possibilities. Mm. So many other things can come from that. And from those things, other things can come. And you can't predict it. And why would you want to? Because in predicting it, you limit the possibility of the thing I cannot imagine how we fix racism in America. Like, I don't... My brain is like, where? My mind, if I was going to map it out, I don't know how to get there. I do not. I could not tell my children how to get there. And so the idea that my job and my role in being with them in this extremely challenging time is just to sit and be present. Mm. So then an idea can form, an understanding can form. So then there can be iteration.
So that knowledge can be seen, like, so that the ancestors can communicate, so that you can hear it.
So that you can hear it, and then because they're going to know, or their children are going to know, or like it's beyond me. You know what I mean? And that's okay. And I am like sitting in that known unknown. Like, that is a known unknown. Ooh. That it is beyond me. Ooh. But it is. You know what I mean? Like, it is. And I think when I want to be with what I hope to be able to give my children, which is incredibly like hard, because what come is so anti, like, what they want you to tell them what is coming.
You just reached into my brain and took my next thought, because it occurs to me that is, I mean, I'm looking off and I'm like replaying so many conversations I've had / arguments / struggles with both of the children, and in different ways I'm realizing so many of them had to do with this. My son, he's like a little bit less like this now, but for a few years he was really on some, if you do anything other than yell and break things, then you're just like serving the system. All you do, you know, you're just like this weak, coddled ivory tower. Like, he's thrown every insult at me. Like, oh, you just sit in your room and write. And you're not in the street. Streets, Dad. I'm just like, the street. Like, what? How are you in the streets? You went to one protest. He literally, after his first protest, was like, I'm out here in the streets, Dad. I'm just like, okay.
Listen.
God bless him. But listen, like, but I'm realizing listen. That the spiritual core of that conflict is that it has been very hard for me to explain to them the ways and the reasons, and I think both their parents have this, the ways and reasons and how, the hows and whys of when we choose to sit and be present and sit with an unknown. It's hard to explain to them the hows and whys of it. They aren't with that energy. I'm not even saying they should be. I'm just saying they need to do their thing, whatever that is. I'm just saying that that creates a disconnect between us that can sometimes, I think, be difficult for us in that relationship.
Let's imagine that you have power and influence, not just over the people that you know, but all the people in the world. Meaning that what you say and what you suggest can have larger implications. It doesn't mean everybody's going to do exactly what you say, but it could have impact. And someone asks you, now it's your mother, how can we end racism?
I feel like racism is something that we are going to have to work on for centuries. The show called Kibo, and in it, it's a 200 years in the future, and there's still a white guy who's in power, and he's ridiculous. And most of the time, the black characters do not listen to him, but he's still in power. And I feel like 200 years in the future, I feel like that might be what it looks like.
Okay, so I want to pause you for a second. Mm-hmm. I am challenging you to imagine that you now can solve it. You are the solvers, and people are going to listen to what you have to say. What would you suggest that we do?
Everyone has to go to therapy and meditate and stuff.
I do think for parents like ourselves and probably a lot of people who will be listening to this who are actively and aggressively trying to raise their children to be who they are versus who we hope or want them to be, this time right now of this time right now, okay, backtrack a little bit. Something that happens when you're trying to do that, to raise your children to be who they are versus who the world or even yourself wants them to be, is that you also have to be who you truly are.
Oh my God, preach it.
And what ends up happening as you do that, like, I want you to be who you are. So I'm going to be who I got to be who I am so I can recognize who I am separate from who you are. And then there's space for all that. And sometimes those two people don't click. You know, or sometimes
real talk.
Those two, you know what I mean? Or sometimes those two people in our house, you know, five people, your house, you know, three, four, whatever. Those people aren't always in the same space, in the same time, in the same dimension, but we got to function together. And we haven't really learned, or we haven't been trained, or we haven't had the practice of like being in space with other people that are like flowing in a different way than we flow in. Like it makes me, like I know for me, it makes me very uncomfortable. Yes. I'm always giving, you know, my husband shit about like, you came in this room and your energy is off right now. Like I was chilling and you came in here turned up and it does not work for me. And that kind of thing of like being able to differentiate is really hard. It's really hard for me. I think it's really hard for children, especially when they're trying to check. You are their like guiding star. You are their like, I know how you are, whether it's angry or happy, whatever it is. I know when you're this way, then I know how to react to that. And when they come in and like you in this whole other plane, you're being present. I know you've talked to me enough, parent, about how horrible the system is that I know right now you are enraged because you've been telling me to be enraged about this system. You got mad at me when I was friends with the white girl who you knew was on some bullshit. And I was like, that's my best friend. And you gave me shit about it. So I know you pissed off right now, parent, but you sitting in here meditating. Why are we not in these streets? You know, like it's confusing. It's confusing. And I think there's so much of that that we just have to be able to like verbalize. Like how do we like communicate? And then how do we also like, I don't know, like how do we sit in what is just going to be like a challenging time? Like it's just going to be unrest, you know, like in our home.
You know, I mean, I mean, if we knew, I want to start off by saying amen to all of that. And also, if we knew what the answer was, then, you know, we wouldn't have the challenging times. Like, we don't, you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
And so, I think part of the thing of challenging times is that you just have to go through the challenging times, period. And I remember I was going through some stuff years ago. It's like some personal stuff. It was like a confluence of, you know how sometimes just it all comes down, the relationship is weird, mm-hmm. and the work stuff, and then some money things happened and some health stuff. So I was just walking, it just was like not feeling it, just the whole arrangement of being alive on the earth. I'm like, this is kind of like bullshit. I'm not sure that I really want to you know what I mean? And
I think that was yesterday for me, but I'm over it now.
And, you know, whatever. Like, and like, I remember this one, like a Jewish friend of mine said, oh, you know, I was telling her all about it. And she said, oh, that reminds me of a prayer that that her mother's a rabbi. She was like, so she knows all this stuff. She's like, that reminds me of a prayer that we have for when someone has just walked through a narrow place. And something about that phrasing of a narrow place really landed with me. Because there were two things about the way she phrased it that landed with me. One is that it was such a accurate descriptor of what that felt like, even though I didn't know it at the time. Mm-hmm. As soon as she said it, it clicked. Yes, this is a place in which I'm on my journey of life, you know, and sometimes I'm out in the fields and there's flowers and birds and it's beautiful. And sometimes mm-hmm. it's a little dark and a little treacherous and I don't really know where to step and I can't even really
squeeze through. You just make it. It's narrow.
Yeah, narrow. No, I know. And then the second thing that about the way she phrased it was that she was basically saying, yes, here my religion, which is many thousands of years old, acknowledges that this is part of the lived experience. And the way I understand comparative religion stuff is that religions form or task themselves with trying to make sense of the collective human experience. Consequently, a life journey in which you are occasionally in a narrow place is, in fact, a universal, ancient, primordial human experience. And that gave me great comfort.
If you were, hopefully you can feel my energy because we are like,
I really can.
I'm in the future. Yeah. You're like, you know, yeah. And all of it. But what you just said was so affirming because I do think as the way we have decided to engage and raise our children, they know that. Mm. They know that hard times have been here. Mm. Will come again, mm-hmm. that there is a long struggle mm-hmm. that we are trying to get through and there are going to be narrow spaces. Mm-hmm. And it like just hit me of like, right, that's a known unknown that I have mm-hmm. in actively engaged with them around mm-hmm. that for so many people right now, that's not their truth. Mm-hmm. Like for so many children, unfortunately, for so many adults, they're like, we didn't plan for this. Mm. We're just going to be going on, you know, cruise next mm-hmm. year. We planned it. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, the kids were about to go off to college. Like, we had a plan.
We had knowns.
And we were doing, we had knowns.
Yeah.
We had guarantees. Yeah. We had receipts, guarantees. Yeah. This is what was going to happen. Yeah. And our poor children who have been hearing about the struggle their whole life and how the prison industrial complex is working to take us down on some level, even when they were like, you know, not maybe experiencing it firsthand or not in a space to be like with it, think, you know, have your child, like have all of the things, mm-hmm. we're aware that, first of all, that this there is another side to it. Even though I can't see it, they know there is another side to it because I told them mm-hmm. about, you know, mm-hmm. you know, slavery. I told them the truth about all mm-hmm. these, you know, mm-hmm. people they got up on these monuments. I told mm-hmm. them this, like how their grandparents decided to come. I told them about my struggles at work. Yeah, I told them about, you know, like I'm telling them about these things and we're on the other side and we're finding joy and like all of that's happening too. So thank you for affirming me in that moment. Has anything surprised you even though it's a known unknown?
Surprised me. That's such an interesting choice of words. Most of the things that have surprised me are internal, right? Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, I predicted a global pandemic. Like, I'm not Walter Mercado. Like, I'm not, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? But at the same time, mm-hmm. RIP. But at the same time, I have that feeling of yep, this is pretty much the kind of thing that I would have expected from this, from this bullshit. This is the type of bullshit. You know, you mess with clowns, you get the whole circus. Like, I feel like that, or maybe there's the other way. You go to the circus, you're going to see some clowns. Like, we are at the circus. So, like, a global pandemic in which this stuff is happening and people in the streets and this crazy ass president. That's just,
I mean, so many,
to me, that's not.
So many people keep saying to me, you kept saying, Alika, you're not going to, why didn't you tell us? You kept saying you were not going to be in the United States. In 2020, what did you know? I was like, "That's I didn't know this was coming, but I knew I didn't want to be around for 2020. Bet. I knew this election year was going to be some bullshit. I knew that."
And so that hasn't surprised me. What has surprised me is, and this isn't even negative surprise. It's seeing my own stuff inside, my own internalized all types of stuff, my own insecurity, my own fear, my own attachment, my own internalized patriarchy, my own, like, just seeing the iterations of it and having it pop up in moments where I'm like, oh, is wow, okay. So that has been, and again, it's not a surprise and like I didn't expect it. No, maybe it is. Maybe it is. Maybe it actually was. I don't want to sound stupid and act like I didn't expect, but maybe I didn't, you know? That's part of, you know, that's part of what it
is. It's a safe space. It's okay.
Like, maybe I didn't.
It's okay.
And
we at Domino think you're perfect, but we recognize that you come, you know, that you come with stuff.
I come with stuff.
We all do.
I come with stuff.
It's okay. And it's okay. We get it.
And so I'm a person who, like, at some point in my life decided that the purpose of everything I was going to do was going to be to grow and evolve, because I like the limitless nature of that, that I can do that forever until the day I die, that I don't have to retire from it. I can always be growing and changing and learning new things and evolving. And that's the main thing, like, that I can be evolving into a more godly, more meaningful, more giving, more loving, more capable, spiritually, emotionally capable person, that I can always be on that evolution path. And sometimes that's a chill path where you're just like, look at me, I'm evolving the shit out of this motherfucker, like, you know. And then other times
that's always when you get got.
That's always when you
that's
get
always
got.
When it happens.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
you
always
flashing too hard,
that's
and then they have something for you. And so that basic, and so, and then there are times when it, you know, like, it, you recognize your own limitations. And I think I've been on some level surprised by all of that and my inability to just be like, oh, there's my limitation, time to snap a finger and then fix everything. That I was like, no, I have to sit in discomfort and recognize how deep this goes and not really know exactly how to disentangle this or undo this and feel uncomfortable while I'm figuring that out and maybe look a fool a little bit to some people while I'm trying to figure it out. That continues to be a surprise and, I might say, a gift, even though I don't necessarily like the gift a whole lot.
I definitely, I mean, I've been asking people this season, like, what is the gift that COVID-19 has given you? And I feel like that's it for you. And I think it is a gift. Mm-hmm. Being able to see yourself so that you can then love yourself is a gift. Like, that is the light right there. That is being the light right there. Carvel, thank you so much.
You
for
are
coming
so great.
And being in space with
us. There is no end to the amount of love, is all I'm saying.
Yay!
This podcast was produced by Domino Sound.
Why not just get together and live in one love and one unity, you know? Rebel in the morning, rebel in the evening too. Now don't you be like a devil when I play with sounds called a rebel, rebel, rebel.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hold up.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.